a heave offering unto the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for a heave offering. As you do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it. Of the first of your dough you shall give it unto the Lord, a heave offering in your generation. And so God is clear. He says to his people now, you enjoy the fruit of the land. All right, you enjoy the fruit of the land. And the first thing you do is you give the first dough that comes out of that. You give it to the Lord. I got to thinking about that a little bit. Let's go over to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 10. That's when I got curious. All of a sudden I whipped my concordance out and I said, okay, let's run this down a little bit. Nehemiah chapter 10. Now over in Numbers that we just read, of course that's anticipating them going into the land. And Nehemiah is after the Babylonian captivity, so this is a return to the land. Now in Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 37, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings, and the fruit of all the manner of trees and of wine and of oil unto the priests to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes into the house of our God, to the chambers under the treasure house. Well, God says, first fruits of our dough. You ever hear anybody call money dough? I wonder when we ever got that. You ever hear anybody say, how much dough you got? Well, he's not talking about a wad of gooey stuff, you know, and you pull out of your pocket. He's talking about money. Now, here, I recognize that's dough as in dough, bread dough, but isn't it interesting how that our culture has taken that word and applied it to money? Yeah. Well, that's not all. Ezekiel 44. And verse 30 of Ezekiel 44. Now, if you know anything about war, this isn't Old Testament, really. I mean, it's Old Testament. Ezekiel is the Old Testament, but what Ezekiel 44 is talking about is an Old Testament time. You get along now to Ezekiel 40 or 41 or through the rest of the book, it's not talking about Old Testament. It's not talking about church age. It's not even talking about the tribulation. It's talking about the millennium. You got the millennium here in Ezekiel 44. It's a fascinating set of chapters. And so in the millennial kingdom, here's the deal. Verse 30. And the first of all, the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, and of every sort of your oblation shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. Get it? That he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. So now that Bible says you're supposed to bring your dough to the priest. Who's your priest? Jesus Christ. Isn't he? He certainly is. And all you have to do is read the book of Hebrews to find that out. Well, now, how are you going to bring your dough to your priest? I guess that's one reason you established the local church. That must be one thing that he's got in mind for a local church. An opportunity for you to bring your dough to the priest. And you say, well, what if I don't want to bring my dough to the priest? Okay, he don't want to bless your house. Your choice.
Absolutely.
Your choice. You know? He'd like to bless your house. He really would. He'd like to bless your house. Now, how can God bless your house? Well, I'll tell you what, God needs to, you need God's blessings on your house. Now, we always think in terms of the physical, and we ought not to, and yet I believe that blessings befall us in those areas when we bring the first fruits of our dough to the priest. I believe that. You know, the Bible talks about a tithe over and over again. You know what tithe is? The book of Hebrews defines tithe as 10%. Don't you wish that's all the government took?
Yeah.
And they calculate now that, well, when they calculate all the taxes that you pay your sales tax and your income tax and your gas tax and you tax on this, tax on that, tax on, and there's a zillion hidden taxes out there. You know, a trucker that brings the food to the grocery store, he has to pay tax, road tax. Well, who is that tax translated down to? To you, the consumer, you pay it. So there's people that are in the business of calculating all that stuff, and you know what they figure? They figure that about 49% of your income goes for tax. So the idea is that you work from January through June for the government. That's a wild thing when you start thinking about it. Now, I believe in taxes. I know a government has to operate and it takes money to do it, but that's a little exorbitant. It's a little far out. And I've got a fear for the tax problem, but they'll not accept it because it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we've gotten too far away from the Bible. Now, the Lord asked, Jesus says, now there's always someone around that says, well, man, that's Old Testament, that tithe stuff. That's under the law. Well, Abraham tithed before the law.
Yeah.
You got folks tithing in the millennium.
Yeah.
You got folks tithing in every dispensation. You can't get away from it. Well, I'm under grace, preacher. Go ahead and abuse it. Go ahead and abuse it. You know, if you're not tithing, what you need to do is just ask the Lord to give you the grace to try it. You know what you ought to do this next weekend? You ought to say, God, by your grace, I'm going to try, and I'm going to give you 10% of my check. I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you to help me make ends meet. I'm going to trust you to do it. See, that'll never work. It's been working for me for 20-odd years. And as you can see, I'm going, yeah. And I don't know. I can't explain it to you, folks, and I really can't. I can't. Like me, I can't explain it to you. Because it wouldn't work out on paper, but my bills are paid. I don't owe anybody anything. I'm here to tell you, that's a blessing. That's a blessing, you know. I don't have credit cards up to go, you know. Paid. And I don't... Somehow, God just keeps meeting the needs. It works. Now, I believe God can bless you in a lot of ways. He does bless folks physically. And some preachers get a little carried away when they talk about that, and they kind of imply or suggest that if you'll tithe, you'll never have any more problems. I'm not going to tell you that, because that's a lie. I'm not going to tell you that. You know, because to say that would be to suggest that God eliminates the curse for you. And as long as we are here, we're under a curse. Everything around us is cursed. You know that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I mean, this ground is cursed. Everything that the ground grows is cursed. The air is cursed. The earth is cursed. These bodies are cursed. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Right?
Only two things that you and I have at any curse. That book,
amen,
and the Holy Spirit inside of it. The only thing we got that is cursed. Everything else we got is cursed in some way, shape, or form, you know. Thank God they're not. Now, so the curse remains. And you always have problems. You know what? Your hot water heater will break down someday.
Yeah.
It will someday. Now, that's the truth. But I do believe God can make them run longer.
Amen.
I believe that. I do believe God can make tires run longer. You know what else I said to someone just this week, and I've observed this. You know what I think God can do for a tither? I think God can give that individual a special sense of discernment and wisdom when it comes to stopping and managing their finances. God can put deals on you. Amen?
Yes, right.
He can put bargains on you. You see that? And, He will. But, you know, you need a lot of things more than you need material things. Oh, you do. You need spiritual wisdom. You need your kids to grow up straight and right. You need that a whole lot more than you need money.
Amen.
You need a good marriage, a good home. You need a lot of things more than you need money. So I'm going to tell you one more and I'm done. I promised I wouldn't preach a whole sermon on this. But Proverbs chapter 3. For some folks, their life holds out their time. For some folks, their life holds out their mind. For some folks, their life holds out their billfold. You know, just you know, it seems like most folks are holding out something on God. We talked some about revival. You know what revival is? It's complete surrender. It's just waving the white flag at surrender and saying, "Okay, Lord, all right, you can have it all. Have it all." Alright, now, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. You know what substance is? That's all your junk. See? And with the first fruits of all thine increase. There it is. Now, Proverbs, that's a pretty good book. That's the same book that says, "He that winneth souls is wise." That's pretty New Testament, isn't it? That is. All right, now, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, I want my presses to burst out with new wine, and I want my barns to be filled with plenty, and I don't necessarily want it all over here. I want some of it over there. But the way you get it over there is to give it here. That's the way you get it over there. Store treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. Amen? You get it over there by giving it here. I don't know about you folks, but when I get over there, I want some big barns. And some of you think I'm speaking figuratively. I'm not. I'm speaking literally. There's going to be literal barns in that millennial kingdom. And I want a few literal barns filled. You say, "What do you want them filled with?" None of your business.
But I want filled barns. We're going to let you have the camels, brother. I don't want any camels. Private joke.
But I can think it's another thing. Now that thing works, boy. You mark it down, you say, "Well, I'm storing up for the future." Good idea. Store up for that millennial kingdom. Store up. Bring the first fruits of your dough. I never thought about that before until today. Why do people call money dough? Well, the Bible associates dough with tithes. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, bring your dough. Bring your dough. So, bring your dough to the priest. I'm not the priest. Jesus Christ is the priest. And by the way, who's the head of the church? Isn't that what the Bible says? Jesus Christ is head of the church. There you go. So that's a good deal. All right, that's a good study. Thought I'd pass it on to you. I got thinking about it. All right. Now, it's already 7:30. I think we're going to do something a little different here. At the risk of being called a heretic, We're not going to pray tonight, but I'm going to read these prayer requests to you, but I want to say this. I feel an urgency to pray, a greater urgency than probably we do justice to on a Wednesday night, because often...